Welcome, everybody. Time for another episode of Asher Sales Sense. Brought to you by Asher Strategies, the only global sales training company that integrates leading sales methodologies and the latest neuroscience studies into a simple and repeatable 10-step process.
Thank you, Paul. Paul is our announcer for Asher Sales Sense, and I'm Dave Potts in the Asher Strategies studio in Washington, D.C. Our host today is Kyla O'Connell, senior partner and sales facilitator at Asher Strategies. And the title of the show is Improving Sales Leadership Performance with World-Class Athlete Mindsets. Kyla's guest is performance coach, consultant, speaker, and author Alan Stein, Jr. Alan teaches how to use the same strategies in business that elite athletes use to perform at world-class levels. Topics covered during the program will include what is the most valuable skill in sales and leadership, why taking time for yourself is so important, and how you can increase your performance by living in the present. Kyla, over to you.
Thank you, Dave, and welcome, Alan Stein, Jr. We're so happy to talk with you today.
Oh, I'm equally excited, Kyla. This is going to be fun.
Yeah, absolutely. Alan, this is an exciting week for you. Congratulations on the launch of your new book, Raise Your Game. How is that experience going? How's this week been?
Well, at the time of this recording, it's about 48 hours in, and it's been a rather surreal 48 hours. It was over a year and a half's worth of work leading up to it. So for January 8th to finally arrive and the book to officially be out was a really cool experience. And I'm incredibly grateful. I've had so many people offer kind words and support. And the neat part was been everything from some rather casual social acquaintances that have followed me on social media for a little bit to childhood friends that I've known for most of my life, all kind of reaching out with a pat on the back. So it's been a wonderful experience.
Oh, that's great to hear. It is quite an accomplishment. I've picked up my copies, not just for myself, but for the leaders that I coach and work with them on their sales teams, and I'm making it their homework to make sure they read your book. So
I love it. And I hope they enjoy it. It's a light read. It's not a very high academic read because I'm not a high academic guy. It's filled with stories and lessons on the pillars that we need to be the best versions of ourselves. And I've always felt very strongly that storytelling is an effective way to get messages across. So there's tons of stories in there, firsthand stories from my journey as a basketball performance coach, but also some research stories from some of the best businesses in the world. And I'm very proud of the finished product, and I do hope it has a nice impact on people.
Excellent. I'm sure it will. So let's dive in to why we're here today, Alan, which is really to discuss some of the pillars, I'll use your word, of what makes a great leader. And one of the things that comes to mind is this concept, and it's very similar in sales training too. It's a big concept that we train in our engagements, and that's listening and the importance of listening. Why is listening the most valuable skill in sales and leadership?
Sales and leadership is all about creating connection, and listening is arguably the most effective way to create a connection with a fellow human being. And the main reason for that, above and beyond making sure that you have effective communication and that you're gathering the correct information, but when you actively listen to someone, you send them an unconscious message that you care about them, that what they have to say is valuable. And that is what creates trust. That's what fosters connection. And that's ultimately what will be the foundation of leadership. And I find that almost all of the traits that go into being an effective leader also go into being an effective sales professional. I know they're not synonymous, but the traits required to be an elite sales professional and the traits required to be an elite leader, there's so much overlap. And I find listening to be probably the number one skill set to lay that foundation for both.
Oh, I totally agree. And, I like what you said here about the foundation. You have to build that trust before you can sell anything, right? And in the leaders are selling their teams to follow them. In a sense, leadership is selling. What's a practical way we can all improve the skill of listening?
There's a few things that have worked very well for me. And I say quite candidly that listening was not one of my top skill sets several years ago. It's something that, you know, as I increased self-awareness and I started to do some internal work, I realized that it was actually a weakness of mine, that like many people, I spent most of my time waiting to talk, or most of my time formulating my own opinion or rebuttal, or to try to show someone how much I knew on a subject, as opposed to actually actively listening. And just so we're all using the same terminology, active listening is when you're listening with the intent to connect. You're listening with the intent to actually learn something from the person speaking. You're not just waiting for your turn to talk back at them. For me, it's something that I've really had to work on over the last several years. And I would not classify myself as an elite class listener at present, but I'm a much better listener than I was a year ago. And I'm very confident that I'll be an even better listener a year from now. And it starts with the acknowledgement and the humility that it's something you have to get better on. You know, the thing that I find rather comical is most people that aren't good listeners don't know that they're not good listeners. They actually think that they are. And so it's like anything in our life, we don't know what we don't know, and we have blind spots. And unless you're open to doing that internal work and you're open to some feedback and making those improvements, you'll never know that it's a skill that you have to improve. So once you acknowledge and have the humility to admit that you need to improve it, there's two things that have worked for me. One is just reminding myself of the oldest coaching and sales mantra in the world, which is, it's not about me, it's about you. And taking the focus and constantly reminding myself that it's not about me at this moment, it's about the other person. And what can I do with my body language, with my eye contact, to make sure that I'm fully present and actively engaged in listening to them. And then the second part of that is a tool or an exercise that works really well, which is called a list back. And a list back is when there's an appropriate break in the conversation, you list back in the speaker's words, and it's real important to try to use their exact terminology, what they said. And this does two things. One, it makes sure you have the accurate information correctly, but two, as I mentioned previously, it lets them know unconsciously that you care. So a perfect example would be when there's a break, I say something to the effect of, Kyla, I want to make sure I heard you correctly. You said A, B, and C. Is that right? And I know that sounds kind of forced and robotic the way I just did it. It does take some practice. But ultimately, then you'll say either yes, that is correct, or no, Alan, you may have misheard me. I said A, B, C, and D. Either way, once you've corrected me, now I'll have the correct info. But all the while, you're unconsciously processing the fact that I'm listening and that I care enough to make sure I have the information right. And that is the glue that bonds leadership and sales.
Wonderful, wonderful. And I love it. And you're right, very similar to things that we teach in sales training. What I love about your kind of process of acknowledgement first, and then having this mantra, it's not about me, it's you, but also the idea of lifting back, that's just really helpful. And it does two things. One, you get the person agreeing with you, right? Hopefully. I mean, I'm sure you got some of it, right? Even if it's not perfect. So they're right. In this agreement mode, which is where you would like to be, because that agreement mode, that person saying yes and in that positive vibe starts to build great rapport. So listening's not just wonderful for that, you know, for the purpose of getting things correct, but also building great rapport, which, as you know, I'm sure is effective as a great leader.
Yeah. And that goes back to the whole concept of connecting. I mean, another old coaching and sales mantra, and I'm so thankful that I had mentors that taught me these things rather early. And that's, in the coaching world, you would say, we connect first, we coach second. And I think that can easily transfer over to, you connect first, you sell second, or solve second,
right,
whatever words you want to use. But it's all about creating that connection first. And it does not work, at least it's not sustainable long term, if you try to coach or you try to sell before there's some initial connection. And listening will lay the foundation to nurture that connection.
Wonderful. So I've had the opportunity to hear you speak several times now, and I always take things away and really try hard to utilize them in my work, not just in my professional life, but in my personal life as well, because it's just wonderful, wonderful content. One of the things that was something that resonated with me is that, you know, why you need to fill your bucket first as a great leader. So can you expand on that?
Sure. When you ask people most traits of what it takes to be a good leader or what it takes to be a good teammate, more times than not, they mention unselfishness. I mean, it's about servanthood. It's about serving others. And what I think, unfortunately, many of the constructs in our society get twisted is that service is all about the other person. And while from a macro level, that's very true, but if we really unpack it, leaders have to know that they have to fill their own bucket first, or they're not going to be able to serve others. You can't pour anything out of an empty cup. So if your cup is not full, then you don't have anything to offer someone else. Where I think people sometimes get confused is they think that if they take time to refill their own bucket, and when I say refill bucket, I mean to recharge themselves mentally, emotionally, physically. I mean, do what they need to do to be at their best and to perform at the highest level. I think many people almost have a feeling of guilt that when they take time out of the day to pour into themselves, that they're being selfish. And I'm kind of on a crusade to flip that upside down and make sure people understand nothing could be further from the truth, that you have to fill your bucket first to be the best, and you can fill in the blank, to be the best mother or father, to be the best spouse, to be the best sales professional, to be the best manager or CEO. You have to take care of yourself. And, you know, since I came from the basketball world, I'll use a basketball analogy, and even if folks listening don't like or watch basketball, I'm sure they've heard of LeBron James. Well, if LeBron shows up to a Lakers practice and he hasn't gotten good sleep and he hasn't fed himself and hydrated himself and he hasn't done his workouts and his stretching, if he hasn't done everything in his power to show up to practice to be the best he's capable of, then he's actually letting the team down. That's actually an act of selfishness. When he shows up to practice unprepared, he is taking away from the team's ability to be the best they can be. And that is an act of selfishness. So I really encourage sales professionals and leaders to make time every day to fill their own buckets, but you're doing so in service of others.
Kyla, it's time to take a quick commercial break. Over 200 correlation studies show that natural aptitude is the most significant factor in predicting sales success. Asher's Advanced Personality Questionnaire, the APQ, consistently identifies peak performers in outside sales, inside sales, sales management, customer support, and 17 other business positions. Go to asherstrategies.com today or call 866-833-9941. That's Asher Strategies at 866-833-9941. We've been speaking with performance coach and keynote speaker Alan Stein Jr. on improving sales leadership performance with world-class athlete mindsets. Now back to Kyla and Alan.
Thanks, Dave. Alan, I'd like to circle back to the concept of filling your bucket first. I think a lot of, let's call it type A, very overachieving type personalities, think that overworking is, you know, the right thing to do. And I love that you're out there flipping that upside down and saying, okay, yes, you can work hard, but you have to take time for yourself and also your family or whatever else is important to you, your health, of course. What are some practical ways to ensure that our buckets do get filled?
We have to make it a priority. And there's an audit that I like to do with folks where the first thing I ask them to do is to just write down 3, 4, or 5 things, we'll call them, activities that they know fills their bucket. It's the things that they really enjoy doing. And again, this can be something for mental, physical, or emotional nourishment, but what it is that you love to do. And everybody, I mean, there'll be different answers. Some people, it's working out. You know, maybe it's taking a CrossFit class or a spin class or a yoga class. Other people, it might be going to a coffee shop and quietly reading or listening to classical music or taking the dog for a walk. Whatever it is, just if you had a completely blank slate and you could fill your day with a few things that you know make you smile, what would those things be? And come up with that list. And then I want people to actually, on the other side of the notes, is to examine what their morning and their evening routine is, the bookends of their day. How do they spend the first 60 minutes when they wake up, and how do they spend the last 60 minutes before they go to sleep? And kind of jot down what those things are. And I know, because human beings are creatures of habit, that almost everybody listening to this has a morning and evening routine. My only question is it one that they've designed with purpose and intention, or is it one they've kind of accidentally fallen into? But either way, at the end of the audit, you'll have the things that you know fill your bucket, and then you'll have what you actually do in mornings and evenings, kind of surrounding the typical workday. And then I want you to cross-reference those two. I want you to overlay them, and I want to see how much overlap there is. Are you making the time to be intentional and purposeful to put the things on your list that you know fill your bucket in the bookends of your day? In that first 60 minutes, are you doing one or two of those things on your list? In your last 60 minutes, are you doing one or two of those things on that list? And I find with a lot of people, especially really ambitious, driven, high performers, that many times the answer is no, that they know that they need to do these things, but they're simply not doing them. And that's what's called a performance gap. It's the gap between knowing and doing. And hopefully this audit can shine some light on the fact that they need to close that gap, because it will allow them to not only have a much higher quality of life, but it will allow them to perform their job at a much higher level.
And be happier.
Yes, which makes everything better. I mean, you perform at a higher level when you're happier. I mean, this isn't we all just kind of hold hands and sing. When you're happier, everything in your life you do at a higher level. There's a direct correlation with that.
Absolutely. Let's talk about living present. And why is that so important in today's world, and especially for high performance?
Well, you teed it up perfectly with what you said about happiness. I mean, living present is the key to happiness, fulfillment, but it's also the key to success and significance. So whichever one of those things tends to be more important to you at present, living present will help you achieve those. And it's really about not getting distracted by the past, which is really easy for us to do. And it's also about not being anxious or worried about the future. With as many digital distractions in particular that we have, it is so easy to fall into either one of those pitfalls of worrying about the past or being anxious about the future. And the key to high performance and the key to truly enjoying your life is living in the present moment. And the short definition of that, you know, I've heard it said by folks from Oprah Winfrey to Nick Saban, the football coach at Alabama, and that's simply to be where your feet are. And that's a mental trigger that I use with myself. Anytime I find myself not in the present moment and either worried about the past or distracted about the future, I just remind myself to be where my feet are. And that simply means make sure your head and your heart are wherever you are. So a perfect example with these digital distractions would be you and I are out to lunch. My feet are at lunch, but I'm staring at my phone, which means my head and my heart are somewhere else. In that instance, I am not fully present with you. And then when we lead back to the beginning of the conversation, then clearly I'm not going to be able to listen to the degree that I need to. I'm going to erode the connection that we're trying to build, and it all just starts to unravel. So being in the present moment is vital.
I was thinking here while you're talking, I'm listening, but I'm also thinking of being present as a leader and how critical that role is to the person that they're speaking with, that if that leader, which is, you know, their boss, the person that they're having a conversation with, takes a phone call or looks at an email while they're having a conversation about this person's performance or their future development, what kind of signals or impact that has on that team member who feels that that leader is just not present?
Yeah, you send the wrong message. Unconsciously, you tell that person, you are not important to me. I don't value your attention. I don't value, like, it sends the wrong message. And it's so important for leaders and sales professionals to realize we are always communicating. Always. Communication is not just the spoken word. Even when you're not saying something, you are saying something, and we have to be incredibly conscious of what it is we're saying when we don't think we're communicating. And that's a perfect example that if you're in for a performance review and I'm allowing all of these outside distractions to steal my attention, I am unconsciously telling you that you and this meeting is not important to me. And of course, on a conscious level, no leader is thinking that. You know, but that's what they're actually communicating. And it's, you know, it's not what you say, it's what the person hears that matters most. And in this case, the hearing would be in air quotes, would be, I'm not important. Whatever's on his phone is more important than me. And that's a major problem for a leader.
Kyla, it's time for the wrap up.
Okay, great. You've left us with some amazing takeaways today, Alan. Is there any last thought here that you want us to kind of ponder as we wrap up? And also, let us know the best way to contact you.
My last thought would be, to give yourself some grace and give yourself some compassion with the things that we've talked about. You are going to find times where you're not a great listener. You're going to find times where you're distracted, you know, whether it's your spouse or your child or a coworker is telling you something and you zone off for a little bit. Don't beat yourself up. Like, just get back to the present moment. Give yourself a pat on the back and realize it's time to move on to the next play. Same thing with filling your bucket first. If you do that audit and you realize, man, I'm not doing anything to fill my bucket, you don't have to change your entire schedule tomorrow morning. Just make small incremental changes to slowly put you on the track to where you want to go. And same thing with living present. You know, I have a very heightened self-awareness now about living present, but I'm certainly not present every moment of every day. And I just give myself some grace and some compassion when I find that I'm not, just to get back on track. And more times than not, high performers and high achievers extend grace and compassion to those they care about and to those around them, but they end up beating themselves up more than anything else. And that's not healthy either. So give yourself the compassion you'd give a loved one. And as far as everything else, anyone that's interested in the book can go to raiseyourgamebook.com. And if they're interested in anything else I have cooking, you can just go to allensteinjr.com. And I'm at allensteinjr on LinkedIn and Instagram and the other social handles. And I love engaging with folks. So anyone listening, if any of this resonated and you'd like to discuss it further, please don't hesitate to drop me a line on social. I'd be honored to chat.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for being with us today, Alan. It's just been a great conversation and a needed conversation, I think, for many professionals. So we really appreciate you giving us this valuable content today.
My pleasure.
Dave, back to you, Dave.
Thank you, Kyla and Alan. That's all the time we have for today. Our next show is in 2 weeks. Be sure to join us. From now until then, John Asher reminds us to please, please get out there and sell something. Paul, take it away.